So for the past couple weeks, we have been looking at this concept of being in Jesus. And it began 2 weeks ago when we talked about being known in Jesus. And being known in Jesus means that we can have a relationship with him and with God the Father. Last week, we talked about being secure in Jesus, that when we know and understand that we are secure in our Savior, we know that our doubts and our sins and our bad days do not tear us away from Jesus. Rather, we're secure, right? We are held tightly, and nothing is able to remove us from his grip. And then this morning, we're going to be unpacking this idea of the promise of being forgiven in Jesus. You know, what does that mean? Who does it impact, and why is it important? Now, before we read the scripture this morning, I just want to give you some background on the text. So, John chapter 21, Jesus has appeared to the disciples a handful of times up to this point, and for whatever reason, it seems like the disciples are giving up, going back to their beginnings, right? They begin to go back to their old lives, and so they go out fishing. And they don't have any luck when they're out on the lake, right? They have no luck fishing until some guy on the shore, spoiler alert, it's Jesus, tells them to cast their nets on the opposite side of the boat. And they listen and they catch a fish of epic proportions, which prompts John to cry out, "It's the Lord!" He recognizes Jesus at that point. So impetuous Peter, right, he leaves the fish, he jumps out of the boat and he swims to shore, where Jesus already has a campfire going and has bread and fish cooking for them. He has a breakfast prepared and waiting. So that's kind of the background to our scripture this morning from John 21, 15 through 17. So when they began, when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now Peter felt hurt because he had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, one thing I can say with some fair assurance this morning is that we have all been hurt by somebody at some point in our lives. Right? It may be a long time ago, or it could have just been the other day. It might have been a big hurt. It might have been a small hurt. But we all carry scars from those relationships. And that's what makes this encounter in John chapter 21 so interesting. And when Jesus was denied by Peter three times, right, it must have left some scars. Peter had made some awfully big boasts, right? You know, Peter is just that guy I imagine was always, you know, hiking up his pants, thinking he's bigger than he is. And, you know, he was the guy who said to Jesus, you know, "Jesus, even though everybody might turn from you, I won't do it, Jesus. Even though all those turkeys over there, they might leave you, Jesus." I mean, scripture didn't say turkeys. I added that, I'll admit it. It's implied, I think, but scripture implies it. But Peter says boldly, "I will never leave you." And then when that moment of truth happens, Jesus doesn't only deny Jesus once, but he denies him three times. He does it strongly. He swears. And the last time, it's a little girl who comes up and says, "Don't you know Jesus? Didn't I see you with him?" And that's when he swears. He cusses. "I don't know this guy. I don't know him at all." And it had to hurt. Right? Had to hurt Jesus knowing what was going on. And so we watch with interest. at this scene where Jesus deals with this wayward disciple, and we watch and we listen and we learn things that we cannot forget. And I think one of the first things we learn is that there is forgiveness in Jesus. Now, there are a lot of responses Jesus could have had to Peter. I mean, he could have responded to him like we would have, right? He could have given Peter the old silent treatment. He could have given him the cold shoulder. Peter comes walking up on the beach. Jesus could have turned his back to him and pretended not to even know him. He could have made it crystal clear, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was very mad at Peter, right? He could have punished him. But this isn't what Jesus chose to do. Instead, Jesus gets right to the heart of the issue. He wants Peter to grow from the experience and not be shackled by it. And so what Jesus does is he lets Peter know that he believes in him and he still trusts in him. Right? Jesus forgives Peter. And he doesn't say those words. He doesn't say, "Peter, I forgive you." Right? Because sometimes those exact words aren't necessary. I mean, isn't it true in a marriage, you know, sometimes just a well-placed hug says, "I'm sorry," or "I forgive you," better than words? I know, you know, sometimes Jan and I, when we're bonking heads, and, you know, we'll just kind of look at each other, and there'll just be this simultaneous moment where we kind of like, what were we even thinking? That was ridiculous. And we know everything is right. And sometimes it's that invitation to dinner. It's a phone call where you say to someone, "You know, I've missed talking with you." It conveys your heart better than your words. Jesus welcoming Peter, having a meal prepared for him, talking with him one-on-one. Jesus is setting Peter free. You know, I meet lots of people who are tied up in knots with resentment and bitterness. They are wrapped up in the past because of some pain that has happened. In fact, the pain of the event is only surpassed by the memory of the event. You know, every one of us has somebody who has hurt us. And they may have spoken an unkind word. Maybe they cheated us in a business deal. They were inattentive or abusive as parents. They were that unappreciative child. They were disappointed in us when we were in a crisis. They broke their vow. Right? Every one of us has a Peter in our lives. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? What will we do about the Peter? In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, author Philip Yancey writes this. He says, "In the final analysis, forgiveness is an act of faith. By forgiving another, I am trusting that God is a better justice maker than I. By forgiving, I release my own right to get even and leave all issues of fairness for God to work out. I leave in God's hands the scales that must balance justice and mercy." You see, when we refuse to forgive someone, we show that we really don't trust God. You see, God doesn't deny the reality of our pain, right? Jesus, God knows our pain, has experienced pain. He is simply asking us to leave the pain and the repercussions to him. He's asking us to trust him with our anger and our pain, to turn it over to him so that we don't have to carry it. But, you know, there's something else we learn from this account. We see here a question that keeps us focused. Right? Jesus asks Peter the same question three times, and it's likely the number was intentional because Peter denied Jesus three times, and so Jesus asks Peter three times. And you've probably heard over the years that there are different words for loved being used here, where Jesus will use the stronger of the two and then Peter uses the weaker one. And I'm not sure what all to make of this. I mean, I've read the different commentaries and I've read different opinions. Is it that Peter didn't love Jesus deeply, or was it that Peter was unwilling to make any rash boasts anymore, right? He finally learned his lesson, and I think that might be the case. And Peter just wasn't willing to shoot his mouth off. Right, the first question, do you love me more than these? I think Jesus is asking Peter if he still thought his love was superior to that of the other disciples. Just notice Peter is not willing to make such a rash boast anymore. I think Peter's learned some sense of humility and humbleness in that. And it's a good thing. But I also think there might be another reason why Jesus asked this question three times. You know, sometimes it takes asking a question many times before someone hears the real question. You know, if you're asked somebody, how are you? And, you know, the automatic reflexive thing, you know, I'm fine. And you know. And so you follow up with, well, how are you? And maybe that person then will respond with a little bit more of a complete answer. You know, they might say, well, you know, my family is struggling right now. So you ask a third time, no, how are you? How are you doing? And then it seems like the person has finally heard the real question and they confess that they're lonely or frightened or sick. You know, we might have to tell somebody that we love them multiple times before they will even begin to hear us and believe us. I think Jesus wanted to make sure that Peter heard the question. Do you love me? And I think we need to make sure that we hear it too. You see, this question that Jesus is asking is, he's not asking, or he's not seeking religion. He's seeking relationship from Peter. Jesus doesn't ask, Peter, do you love the church? He doesn't ask, Peter, do you love the people that you go to church with? He doesn't say, Peter, do you love the way that faith helps you in life? And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you want to be known? Peter, do you want to be secure? Peter, do you want to be forgiven? And maybe you've sensed it at some point or another. Maybe you're sensing it now. I mean, this longing, this yearning for forgiveness. Have you ever felt that barrier between you and God because of something that you have done? I mean, friends, as one beggar to another beggar, let me give you this message from the Father. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you a rest. Because our God's arms are open wide. And he extends forgiveness to each and every one of us. Right? There's no cold shoulder. There's no condemning look. What Jesus offers us is grace. He offers us forgiveness. And so it's time for us to take off the burdens that we bear, the burden of guilt that we wear, right? Your sins, my sins, our sins have been dealt with at the cross, and you are now free. You are free to follow him. You are free to become acquainted with the one who has set you free. You are free to love the one who has loved you since you were being knit together in your mother's womb. You know, Peter heard this message clearly. Tradition says that Peter was condemned to die on the cross. He was condemned to die as a martyr as well. And he couldn't imagine being crucified the same way that his Savior was crucified. And so he asked to be crucified upside down. Peter took to heart what Jesus was saying to him that day on the bank of the river. And Peter walked away from his past. And he focused on serving Christ in the future. Right? Peter knew what it meant to be forgiven, and it changed his life. Peter spent the rest of his life telling others, you too can be forgiven. You too can be known. You too can be secure in your relationship with God the Father. Church, we are free. We are loved. We are forgiven. Let us live like that. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for the gifts that you give to us. That in Jesus we can be known, that in Jesus we can be secure, that in Jesus we can be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name, Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, would you stand with me as we sing our final song this morning? 361, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. You know, there's something about these hymns of faith that teach us so much. I mean, we were singing theology for four verses there. I want to talk about verse 2 specifically. You know, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Right? We're never going to do enough works. You're never going to work hard enough to pay the penalty for your sin. Could my zeal no respite know? You're never going to be emphatic enough. Right? You're never going to be passionate enough to have your sins paid for. Could my tears forever flow? Right? We're not going to be emotional or sorry enough ever to pay the penalty for our sins. You know, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. You know, church, whenever we talk about forgiveness, yeah, I think it's always important for us to point out the fact that we cannot add to it. You are not forgiven based upon anything other than the cross. You are not forgiven because you believe in Jesus and you beat yourself up over it. You are not forgiven because you believe in Jesus and you go to church every Sunday. You are not forgiven because you believe in Jesus and you serve. You are forgiven because of Jesus, period and end of story. We add nothing to it. We take nothing from it. Forgiveness in Jesus is simply that. It is forgiven in Jesus. And that's what he proclaims to us. We are forgiven by the blood of Christ. And this is what we have to tell the world. But the world needs to know that they can be forgiven and welcomed and known and secure. Gracious God, we are grateful for your presence. We are grateful, Lord, for these incredible gifts, that we can be known in Jesus, that we can be secure in Jesus, that we can be forgiven in Jesus. Lord, remind us that these are not gifts or promises for us to cling to by ourselves. Help us not to hoard these gifts. Instead, Jesus, help us to share them. Help us to tell a world that is desperate to know that they too can be found in Jesus. Savior, it is in your name that we pray and praise. Amen. Amen.